In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast today, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And my name's Pastor Ken, and in studio with me is our producer, Jack Gardner. And so, Jack, glad to have you today, and we look forward to a new week and what God has in store for us. And well, we trust that you're doing well as you're either driving to work this morning or waking up to us this morning, that our focus is going to be on the Word that is going to give us life, and that's going to be God's Word. And the Scripture clearly says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. And so aren't we thankful that we have in our hands the words that God has given to us? He has preserved His Word, and we're so grateful that we have it today. As we're in Joshua chapter 2, and we've been really examining one of only two women who are brought to us in the great faith chapter of Hebrews 11, and she appears in Joshua chapter 2 for the first time, and that is Rahab. And if you've missed any of our past broadcasts, go back and pick some of those up. We've dealt with, okay, what about the lie of Rahab and so forth? But Rahab's faith is what is the emphasis in this particular chapter. I mean, she had learned her history well as she had heard all about the great God of Israel and all that He had been doing for them. She actually even said, just not the people of Jericho that have heard of Israel's God, but in verse 9 of chapter 2, she says, the inhabitants of the land. And this is going to be confirmed later in Joshua chapter 9 by the Gibeonites. They had heard too. So to this day, even people are aware of what happened with Egypt when they had Israel there as their slaves and the great exodus that took place and God's great work there. And that's what we find ourselves in. Jack, start us off with verse 11 of chapter 2, which is really Rahab affirming God's glory and God's power, which is remarkable from where she finds herself living in this anti-God, immoral, wicked city.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath.
I mean, again, it's just marvels me that she's acknowledging once again that when they heard of the power of God, that their hearts melted. And then she makes the statement, the Lord your God is God in heaven above, on earth beneath. I mean, it's remarkable, Jack, I think, for three reasons. One, on its own merit. She was affirming here that God is the one that ruled over the very heavens and the earth, that her own religious traditions asserted belonged to Baal, Asherah, and the other gods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then secondly, Rahab stated that Israel's God was indeed the only God. And with this statement, she is again asserting that the gods of Baal, Asherah, and the rest were not even true gods. I mean, you look at Psalm 115, you talk about a powerful passage that tells us that there are gods that people have made with their hands. They have eyes, but they cannot see, ears, but they cannot hear, noses, but they cannot smell, mouths, but they cannot speak. And to recognize that these gods that she had probably been taught to worship her whole life, they're not gods at all.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
That's right.
And then finally, her words are more significant than we realize. In that last part of her affirmation, that phrase, in the heavens above and the earth beneath,
yes,
is found only three times prior to this, all in context that affirm God's exclusive claims to His sovereignty. You find it in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. And you find it in Deuteronomy 5:8. And two of these references prohibit making or worshiping idols or other gods. So she's hid these two spies from Israel, and now the plot is going to thicken. Rahab's going to let the cat out of the bag here. She's been doing all of this kindness and hiding these slaves, giving them courage. Hey, your God is the God.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would like for these spies to help her and her family out. That is her focus, is her family. So are we now seeing that her motive is purely self-serving? I don't think so. She has identified God as the one that is leading his people.
Yeah. And she's identified why she's siding with God, what he has done.
And who he is.
Yes.
Yeah. In her request for protection, I mean, it's really, I think, the classic symbol that revealed Rahab's great faith here is going to be seen in her obedience when the spies tell her what she must do. But in her request, she is choosing to cast her lot with God and the God of Israel, not with the Canaanites' God. And her confession of faith made all the difference in the world to these two spies as they heard, right out of her mouth, a profession and a confession of faith. You know, Rahab's presence in the book of Joshua is positive, displaying the testimony, Jack, really the Abrahamic covenant, which is God's inclusive interest in all who would confess him as sovereign Lord and his providential care for his people. God is at work in people's lives. Jack, I got to tell you, pastor that I ministered with in Tulsa, Oklahoma. When I was in Denver, he called me and he said, "Hey, what about this evangelism conference that's going on?" I said, "Pastor, I want you to know it changed my life. It just gave me some tools to be able to talk with folks and change my life." He goes, "Well, I'm debating whether I want to go to it or not." And I said, I think it would benefit you greatly. Well, Jack, he got back to me after he went to the conference and he got back and he goes, "Ken, I got to tell you, I was so excited at this conference that on my way back, I called my son-in-law, who was associate pastor, and I said, 'You get some visits for us, because right when I land, I don't even want to go home. I want to go out and I want to see some people. I want to put into practice really what I've been learning about how to share my faith and to share the gospel.'" And so they had an apartment complex that they went to, and they knocked at the door, and the person that they were trying to see just wasn't there. No one answered, and he thought, "Ah, great." He says they turned to walk away. A woman stepped out of her apartment. She said, are you all from a church?" And they said, "Yeah, we are." She goes, "I've been here reading my Bible. I just need to know what happens to me after I die. I mean, do you all have some time to come in and share with me?"
Oh, man.
You talk about the providence of God.
And delivered.
Yeah, and we call those divine appointments. Yeah. Some would say, "Well, that was low-hanging fruit." Well, it was only low-hanging fruit because someone said, "Hey, I'm willing to go before I even get home to go knock on a door."
Mm-hmm.
And they went in, shared the gospel. She came to know Christ, came to church, followed the Lord in baptism. And again, that's her identification with Christ. And she got up and testified. You know, again, and you just see the power of God. And that's what is on display here in Joshua chapter 2 with Rahab. The decision to follow God was a decisive decision that Rahab made. She was willing to follow him no matter the cost, no matter if it meant her standing alone. And her faith in her God, her faith in God, moved her to action. I mean, it should be moving me to action. And yet, you know, our mouths are shut when it comes to the whole gospel opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea who you might be working today or working next to that deep down inside, they're wondering what this woman was wondering, what happens when I die?
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you that Jesus gave his last command in Acts chapter 1, and it's in the imperative. It's, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go and be witnesses for me."
You know, and you never know, like you were saying, this is on the heels of what you're saying, but you never know what kind of pain someone's in. You never know what they're going through in that moment because their face won't always tell it.
And, exactly.
And yet, just as with the example you gave, I mean, there's the Lord hand delivering, not maybe your plan, but his plan, because his plan was perfect for that woman that day.
Exactly. Exactly. And his plan was perfect for Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
But Rahab had to take the action And her faith is demonstrated by that. And you got to remember, again, that the Jericho was a very hostile environment. It was a mighty fortress. I mean, it had great walls. I mean, it didn't have just one wall. There were two walls. It was impregnable. You know, that's what the spies that Moses sent out, first of all, saw. Yeah, there's no way we can conquer this.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody was getting in that city because of those walls. And you think of the pressure that she was under in this city and the ancient culture that she found herself living in, continuing on in its normal life of eating and drinking and marrying and so forth. At that moment, she could see nothing with her eyes that indicated, you know, it would fall. And so this non-Jew believed and passed from the kingdom of the Amorites into the kingdom of the Jews. But really, Jack, she passed truly from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's light through his dear son, Jesus. You know, the book of Hebrews that we read a few sessions ago, it makes a tremendous statement about Rahab, paralleling her to the other heroes of the faith. When it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not.
Wow.
When she had received the spies with peace, she's confident in her faith, and her faith is obviously exercised, and now she has a request for her family, and they're going to tell her that she must place a red scarlet rope outside of her window when they come in to take Jericho. I mean, that's going to be the classic symbol here. There was a section of Jericho that was not destroyed when the walls came tumbling down, and that is the section of where Rahab lived. The Bible tells us that all who were in her house lived. And you talk about the connection here between the Passover, which had happened 40 years earlier, where the blood was placed on the doorpost and the lintel so that all would be spared when the death angel actually passed over. And here again, this red thread, you know, I was at a church, Jack, in Dallas, Texas, Prestonwood Baptist Church, and in their lobby, huge, beautiful lobby, they have in stained glass, 66 individual stained glass sections of every book of the Bible. And they have a red thread going through each piece of that glass. It's powerful to look at because that red thread obviously is significant, that being to the blood of Christ. So we'll pick up again next session on what takes place and what she's asked to do for the protection of her family, and she was willing to follow their guide, their direction, and because of that and her faith, her family lived. Well, we trust that the study of Joshua and of especially Rahab over the last few sessions would be a great encouragement to you. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.